Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. We've got questions around boat regulations today. We also need to discuss whether drug users are really criminals. Can we read is another good question. And what the hell is the Dutch Reach? So many questions, including do some people prefer not to have very good cell phone coverage? Is that why they live in places like the Chathams?
Hello, it's 10 to 10 here.
It is too, that's right. Because you don't do daylight saving, do you?
That's right. And we've got a black hole all over the Chathams. That's what I was listening to you about cell phones. We've got no coverage here at all. In fact, we all hope we don't get it because people take time to talk to each other, and it's just, we're still living in the 50s and it's just amazing. I could have done with it about 3 days ago. I was coming home from town. It's a 3/4 hour trip through barren land, gullies and wild cattle and stuff, and I had a tyre unravelled and I couldn't get my last two nuts off the wheel, and I had found a couple of armchairs at the dump for the station next door for the shearer's cottage, so I decided to just sit there and wait for somebody to go past. It could be one person a day or six or whatever, but anyhow, I got home at 6 o'clock in the end, but it just makes you patient.
Well, yes. I mean, you would just have to take life at a slower pace, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Just sit down there. And how often do you sit in the middle of the fern, you know, looking across the bay at the township? And I had 30 people due to this old stone cottage that I live in. It's a top tourist spot, and I had 30 people due at 2 o'clock, and this was at 2:45 that it happened. So I knew that they'd all be at the cottage, and I was supposed to be talking to them about the history and how it's made and everything. But
that's right.
A couple of nurses went past from the hospital and coming to look at the cottage, so I gave them two boxes of groceries to bring home because it was hot, and tell the people what had happened.
And that was fine?
Yeah.
It does sound like a sort of a simpler, more straightforward kind of an existence there on the Chathams. What do you reckon there? Do you reckon there's many people watching Netflix there? Don't know if it's for me. Now, you need a boat to get there, or a plane, I suppose. But we're talking about speed guns out in the water, boats going too fast in places where they shouldn't. And Nadine can't believe that this is not already happening.
And when you're in the water, there are lots of boats on the water, the risks are even greater to you personally. I learned to water ski as a kid with my friend's family, and I can attest to the fact that many, many people either don't know the rules or blithely ignore them. And when you're learning to wakeboard, I can also attest to this, you spend a lot of time face down in the water, falling off your board. And it can be terrifying when other boats come whizzing past you so close and at such high speeds. Of course, I get it. Policing the water is a lot more difficult than the roads because there is so much coastline in such a large area, and there are so many lakes and rivers that you could never finance, let alone enforce the rules if you set them. But surely the risks on the water are at least equal to the risks on the road. So why don't we start by requiring a greater level of knowledge? It seems crazy that we haven't done this before now. Perhaps we could require boaties, I reckon, to do a Coast Guard course before they can, say, legally own a boat. Or maybe the rule is that you have to have someone on board who's done one, so that there's at least somebody on board with a clue. The speed guns wielded from the shore are a start, sure, but they seem woefully inadequate when we let anyone out on the water without a clue what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, isn't it? I suppose it's potentially a lethal weapon, a boat. Mind you, so is a carving knife, and you can buy that from Stevens. So there's no background check there. Complicated world. I don't know what to do about it. But I don't know that it's enough to drive you to drugs. However, this is a desperate segue, but I'm going to make it work. If you are a drug user, are you really a criminal?
Why aren't the rehabs that we already have now, why aren't they working?
They're probably not getting enough funding. They might actually be working. My understanding is that there are waiting lists to get in.
Mm. And if they were working and fixing up people, then they wouldn't have a job anymore, would they?
I don't know. I mean, the other thing that I believe, having heard this from a few people, is that if you work in things like addiction counselling in New Zealand, it's a pretty low-paying job, and you could be highly qualified. You can have a degree in this, and you could be outstanding and have those skills of being a social worker and also somebody who has maybe walked the walk a little bit or extensively and studied, and you know actually how to help people. And we don't pay those addiction counsellors much at all. If they go to Australia, they can get, in some cases, twice as much money. So I don't think we're valuing the health workers in that particular field as much as we should.
Yeah, but we don't value any of the people who do the important things as much. I mean, teachers. We don't pay them very well. We pay CEOs pretty well, and all they do is make more money. They're not really helping people. I suppose they're providing jobs for people. So many complicated, twisty questions this morning. Like, how come is it that the adults don't actually read anymore? What's going on there?
When you say struggling, struggling to read information on a parking ticket, struggling to read the menu? Give me a sense of what struggling means.
Yeah, great question, Tim. The way we measure literacy is in different levels. So you can just be able to read nothing, and then you can read sort of various levels. And how we measure literacy is one of the levels is being able to function in day-to-day. So is that actually, can you read, I don't know, the newspaper? Can you navigate your way through a pamphlet? All those kind of things. And all the research shows, and it hasn't really changed for a while, that about 40% of us are struggling just with that day-to-day literacy level, which is an enormous amount, isn't it?
It is an enormous amount, such an enormous amount. I don't quite believe it.
Yeah. I think we do that. It's been a figure that's been there for a while. And when we look at ourselves internationally, we actually do okay. It's about the same. Most countries that we compare ourselves have the same level of literacy. What I think is really interesting is that some of your listeners may remember just before Christmas that a piece of research was released that is a study that is about our kids. So it's an international study, 49 countries.
This is the Pearls research, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. 49 countries, all the countries that we like to compare ourselves with, all the OECD countries. So all the European countries, the US, Ireland, England. And sort of 20 years ago, we topped it. We were the best. Our kids came out on top. Now these results show that we're about 30th out of 49. We've really hit rock bottom. And we went down in the last 5 years. Not only did our kids go down in that they actually performed worse, but most other countries improved. So we're sort of getting a double whammy. And these are our kids that are going to be competing in this global marketplace, and we are really letting down, I think. So the next generation is probably just going to be even more struggling to be literate than we are currently now.
I like the way she says literate and not literate. Is there a syllable missing there, the way she says it, in literacy rather than literacy? Or have I got it wrong? I probably got it wrong. I'm probably one of the people who doesn't know what they're doing. But she's right, of course. We don't need to read anymore because we talk to our devices and they talk back to us. Why would we need to read them? Anyway, we're going to finish up by finding out what the Dutch reach is. It sounds like a sex position, but I don't think it is.
The Dutch reach forces drivers to turn and look behind them before opening the door. Flip, I'll tell you what, this is a funny season for news if we talk about the Dutch reach. The Dutch reach sounds more exciting than actually what it is, but the Dutch reach involves, so your hand nearest the middle of the car, you use that hand to open the car door. And that way you're forced to look backwards. Which has made me think about the way I open the car door. I don't really understand how I've opened it ever. I suppose you lose a closer, but that's what they're doing. And apparently in Holland, it's a legal requirement there to get your license. You've got to do the Dutch reach. A Wellington cyclist was hospitalised after he was hit by a car door in Rintoul Street in November. If anyone has cycled regularly, you know you're spending your whole time scouring the road ahead to see who's about to open a car door. You've got to be very careful, very aware of that. But the Dutch Reach, if you want to comment on that, 0800 80 1080. I've never heard of it till today. Never, ever. Funnily, you know, funny you can still live in a world you can hear things you've never heard. It seems like to be an extremely good idea. Whether there's 4 hours talk back in it, I don't know. We get Dutch people calling. We get controversy over whether it is called the Dutch Reach or not. Who invented it? I'm pretty flippin' excited by the Dutch Reach. I'll start doing it. I'm going to start doing it, and I'm going to start reversing into my drive and driving out forward.
As it turned out, there was quite a lot of that inspired quite a lot of talk back. He was worried whether people were going to want to ring in about the Dutch Reach, but because when I first heard it, I thought that maybe actually not a sex position, but maybe it was a geographical feature I hadn't heard about in Holland. But that wasn't the case either. It was just a weird way of getting out of your car. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to do it, because I dislocated my shoulder a few years back, and it sounds uncomfortable. I'm going to try it, though. I think that we're all going to try it now, aren't we? Don't try it now if you're driving. Stop first. I am Glenn ZB. And also, don't try it if you're not in your car, because it won't work. That has been News Talk ZB. Weird one, but they usually are. I'll see you back here again with another weird one tomorrow.